Good morning. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Good morning. Good to see you all this morning on this Sunday after Thanksgiving on this nice, beautiful, sunny, well, maybe not nice, beautiful, sunny, but a beautiful day nonetheless, right? We got a lot of visitors today, so thank you for being here with us. If you have any questions, please let us know. If you have a bulletin, you will see there's a small tear-off section, and I forgot to say this last week. I know some of you guys did it, so thank you for doing that. But there's a small tear-off section. If you will fill that information out, if you have any prayer requests and praise reports, you can put those on the back. And then as you go out, there is a basket out there on the right as you go out. You can drop your offering there, and you can also drop these in the basket, and that way I'll have them, and I can know how best to pray for you in the coming week. Now, a bunch of you guys apparently forgot that the Baptist church, you have assigned seats. And you are not supposed to move around. You guys moved around a lot this morning, so I'm gonna have to check to see who's here. Okay, but glad you're here. If you have your bulletin, a couple of announcements to look at. The Matchless Bible Study by Angie Smith is this afternoon, starting at 4:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Donald's already checked the heat on, so the heat's on over there. WMU Christmas Party, 17th. Okay. Starting at 6:30. Where's that going to be? Okay. If you got any questions, see Ashley. Hanging of the Greens will be this evening at 6 o'clock here in the Worship Center. We'll put up the tree and the big wreaths and sing some songs. And I think you said Vanessa's going to be here to play tonight. So, okay, well, looking forward to that. Wednesday night, we will get back Wednesday night Bible study at 6 o'clock. We skipped last Wednesday night because of Thanksgiving, but I'll see you this Wednesday night. And then the Bible journaling class will resume on December the 6th at 4:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Wow, a lot of announcements. Also, you probably saw a box as you came in with some food in it out there. We're going to be collecting non-perishable items for the Otago Christmas team. So if you would like to participate in that, then please do that, and we'll get that box and get it delivered to them as well. Okay, so that's... by next, got to get it in. Okay, got to get it in. Yes, ma'am, go ahead. Nine. Woo. Okay, amen. Thank you. All right, any other announcements we need to hear? Prayer requests. Got a lot of people on the prayer list. A lot of people be praying for. I know Donna's brother's been sick. Donald and Kim both have pulmonary issues they're dealing with, so keep them in your prayers. How's Rhett doing? How's Rhett? Haley? Rhett, how's Rhett doing? Oh, okay, I couldn't see him. Hey, Rhett. Okay. All right. I saw Waylon, but I didn't see Rhett. Okay. Good. Anybody else? Any updates we need to hear? Food pantry. Yes, don't forget that, because our food pantry has been used and is pretty low. Okay. Amen. All right. Yeah, Diane and Robert left this morning at 6. Okay. Amen. All right. Michael, good to see you, man. You come home for Thanksgiving? Okay, very good. Very good. Good to see you. All right, anybody else? Okay, yeah, Greg's mother lost a third brother. This is the third brother this year now. Okay. All right, anybody else? Okay, absolutely. We'll do that. Okay, well, if you're joining us electronically, and you have a child at home, get them close to the monitor where they can see. We're going to do the Kids with the King this morning, and the Kids with the King for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about Advent. Now, you might say, what in the world is Advent? Well, the Advent season is coming up to the Christmas event, to the birth, celebrating the birth of our Messiah. And each Sunday, we will light a different candle, and the candle for this morning, for this Sunday, is the candle of hope. And we're going to have one person from the family in the church light the candle. And Kevin was volunteered, come on man, to light the candle this morning. And he's going to be lighting one of the purple candles, and that is the candle of hope. And as he lights that, I'll be reading. You go ahead and light it. We're going to be talking about Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now when we talk about hope, the candle of hope, what are we talking about? This is not some pie-in-the-sky dream. The word hope here is the word that we might use today of expectation or anticipation that God is going to do something. And indeed, hundreds of years in the Old Testament, you will see the prophecy of the Messiah, that God was going to send the Savior. And we celebrate the birth of the Savior on December the 25th. So throughout this time, the first candle that we're lighting, what we need to remember during the Christmas season is that it is a season to celebrate hope, an expectation, an anticipation of God bringing life and life more abundantly to each of us. Amen? All right, thank you. Michael?
Good morning, good morning. Let's all stand together and start this service with some song.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to Him belong. What holds our days within His hand? What comes apart from His command? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah! Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now whenever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. What truth can calm this troubled soul? God is good, God is good. Where is His grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who fills the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Unto the grave what shall we sing? Christ He lives, Christ He lives, and what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him, there we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ Christ is ours forevermore.
Now sing it out. And
oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and in death. Now and ever we confess our hope in life and death.
Brother Larry.
Amen. Take just a moment, turn around, blow a kiss to somebody behind you, let them know how glad you are that they are here today.
You got a lot of new faces.
That's right. Make sure you welcome them, socially distancing welcome them, right? So let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together as your body, the body of Christ, to celebrate, to worship, Lord, to be all that you've called us to be, to give you the praise, the worship, the glory, and the adoration that only you deserve. Father, we live in dark and difficult times. We realize that. We know that. But, Father, we also know that you are the light. You are the life, that there is nothing apart from you, and that you give us whatever we need to endure the times, to be not only endure, but to be victorious in the times as well. So, Father, no matter what culture, no matter what the world, no matter what Satan may hurl against us, we know that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. And we give you praise and thank you for that. Father, help us to be individually and corporately all that you have called us to be. As we celebrate this season of hope, as we celebrate the message of hope, as we celebrate life and life more abundantly, as we celebrate everything that you have done in us and through us, Father, help us to remember that it is all because of your great love. Father, open our hearts and our minds today to your word. Guide us by your Spirit. We seek to honor and glorify you above all else. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm going to be nice today. You may go ahead and be seated. I know a lot of you probably still have some extra turkey weight from Thursday, but you got it. This is my favorite time of year. We got some Advent season, so been waiting all year to sing these songs. You got to promise to sing out for me though. Here we come. Come thou long expected Jesus.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring, by thy own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thy all-sufficient merit, raise us to
all right, good warm up. Now, this one you don't even need the words because you know it, but let's sing it out. I'll come on.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem.
Oh,
Yes, everybody stand. This is the time of the service where we light the candle and pray for our servicemen and women and also our first responders.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Thank you, and you may be seated.
As I said earlier, I will repeat, the offering basket is to the right as you go out the door there. Sometimes I forget to remind you. I think most of you probably know it anyway, but you can drop your offering in the basket. That way you won't have to touch offering plates that anybody else has done. And also drop your prayer requests and praise reports in there as well. Pondering the path. Pondering the path. Now, I think last time I looked, being an engineer, having a science background, some of you guys might laugh, but I keep up with all my trail miles in an Excel spreadsheet. Have been doing that since, 2005 or whatever it was. And I think I'm up to about 2,000 trail miles now. That doesn't count urban miles or anything like that, but trail miles. And you start looking, and my brother came up the day after Thanksgiving and spent some time with us because he hadn't seen Diane and Robert in years. And we were talking about some different places we had gone and different adventures we had had. And he started talking about the big tree. Now, if you know, most states have a champion tree, a tree that is the biggest tree in the state. Well, the largest tree in the state of Alabama is a yellow poplar, and it is located in a gorge in the Bankhead National Forest in the Sipsey Wilderness. And it takes some doing to get to it, which is probably why the tree has survived as long as it has. It's also down in a gorge, so it's protected from violent winds. But we decided, this was years ago, that we were going to go to the hike to the new tree, or the big tree. So my brother went with us, and here we go. And Diane said, "Daddy, I think that's the longest hike I've ever done." And so I looked back and I said, "Yes, that was 11 miles from start to finish." And she, her eyes got big and she said, "No wonder my feet were killing me at the end of that hike." And then my brother said, "And I think the route we took was not the best route. It wasn't the most scenic." And I said, "Hey, if you didn't design the route, don't complain. You just followed, right? You need to ponder the route, though." He's like, you need to take us on a more picturesque route next time." So I said, "Okay, I'll do that." But through life, as you and I traverse the obstacles and the paths of life, it behooves us to ponder the path that we are on. Now, why do I say that? Because Satan is very adept at subterfuge. Satan is very adept at misdirection. And Satan is very adept at getting us to step off the right path and step on the wrong path. Now, years ago, I think I shared with you guys before that I was out west with Diane and Robert, and we went up to the Wichita Mountains National Wildlife Refuge. And there's an area in that wildlife refuge that is a wilderness. And those trails, and there's something called the Crab Eyes. It was a big rock structure. We wanted to hike out there to the Crab Eyes. And all that sounds great. And I had a map from the National Wildlife Service, but a wilderness has no trail markings. They don't mark the trails. Now, you got a map, but the trails are not marked. So I said, "Well, you know, that's okay. I'm pretty good at navigating these things, so we'll be all right." So we got out there, but one thing I did not think about until we got out there, what's in a National Wildlife Refuge out west? Buffalo, longhorn cows, and elk. These all make trails. Greg is exactly right. These animals make trails, and they follow each other in the same trail. So here we come out of the area into the wilderness, and I know the trail I'm looking for goes to the left, but there's about a Googleplex of trails that go to the left. So I don't know if I'm on the trail or a buffalo trail. And so I pondered the trail for a while and finally decided, okay, this has got to be it. But guess what? It wasn't it. I pondered the second. Finally, I found it. We made it up to the, after a while, we made it up to the Crab Eyes. And then Diane said, "But how are we going to get down?" So I didn't have the heart to tell her we might be lost. But we found our way out. But the point is, do you know where you are? And do you know where you're going? Because it requires both of those things. You realize that, right? If you are in the wilderness and you have a map and a compass, that's all well and good. But you need to know two things. You need to know where you are, and you need to know the way to go. So in life, you still need to know those two things. Where are you, and where are you headed? Now, the answer you would think is simple, but it is anything but simple. Because Satan is going to try to get you to make a misstep at every possible juncture. And I'm going to tell you ahead of time, if you follow the crowd, you're on the wrong path. Because Scripture tells us that narrow is the path and winding is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there are that find it. Because broad is the way, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many are traveling that route. And we see that today as well. So with those thoughts in mind, let's go ahead and look at our Scripture. Three separate places today. The first one, and I'm going to give you a hint, they're all going to be in Psalms today. Psalm chapter 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates He meditates. That word could also be translated ponders. Ponders. In His law, He meditates day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. Let's keep going. Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112, the key verses, 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Okay, third one is also in Psalm 94, verses 20 through 23. Shall the throne of iniquity, which delivers evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But, there's another one of those big buts, but the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. Father, thank you for your love and your blessings, for your presence in our life today. Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to your word. Father, guide us by your Spirit. Help us to not be simply as those who hear, but rather help us to hear and obey. Lord, help us to ponder the path that we are on, to make sure that we are following after you. Father, I pray you forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts together might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So three things we're going to be looking at today as we consider pondering the path. Pondering the path. The first one is that, guess what? You have to choose a path. The truth is, I cannot choose for you. Your parents cannot choose for you. Your best friend cannot choose for you. Ultimately, you and you alone must choose. Jesus asked the question to you as he asked it to Peter, as he has asked me and everybody else. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Who do you say I am? Jesus said, who do you say I am? So I'm going to ask you, who do you say Jesus is? Well, Jesus is the Son of God. We celebrate His birthday once a year. Amen, that's right. But is that all He is to you? Once a year celebration? I hope not. Because if that's all He is, then you are on the wrong path. Well, yes, He's God, and yes, I go to church when I can. Well, I'm glad you go to church when you can, but does that mean you're a Christian? Does that mean you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? No, it does not. Because Jesus said in His Word, everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. He says those who do the will of the Father. There is a difference between saying you're a Christian and being a Christian. Amen? There is a huge difference. Religion does not save you. Being on a church roll does not save you. We're going to celebrate baptism at the end of the service today. Baptism does not save you. You are baptized because you are saved. You don't be baptized to get saved. You are baptized because you have been saved. Well, how do you get saved? How do you get saved? You get saved by realizing that you're a sinner, that Jesus Christ is sent to redeem you and me of our sins, and you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to save your soul and be your Lord and Savior. And that is the relationship. That's where the relationship starts. But let me boldface, underline, and highlight that word. That's where the relationship starts. You have a relationship. You have a fellowship. What does that mean? That means you spend time with Him every day. Not just once in a blue moon. Not just, you know, preachers have these little acronyms we use, you know, like it's a preacher joke kind of thing. And one thing you may hear preachers refer to is CEOs. You might say, well, what in the world's a CEO? A chief executive officer? No. A CEO is Christmas, Easter, and other special occasions. What's that mean? That means that people that only come at Christmas, Easter, and other special occasions. Now, I'm glad they come, but does that make you a Christian? No, it does not. And somebody may say, well, preacher, you don't have to come to church to be a Christian. And I will agree with you. You do not have to come to church to be a Christian. But if you are a Christian, why would you not come to church? Let me ask you, do you have to wear Bama swag to be a Bama fan? But if you are a Bama fan, why would you not? Right? Seriously, why would you not? I know Kathy and I met Diane and Robert for lunch Saturday at Chappie's, and the first thing Diane asked is, where's your swag? I'm like, she said, where's your swag? She said, you know, you got to wear, you got to represent. And we do, don't we? Boy, you wear it, you got it on your phones, you got it on your scarf. Diane had it on her socks yesterday. So, and I see a mask back there, sporting Alabama swag. So, you know, we wear it because we're proud, right? We want to be identified with it. Well, why wouldn't you want to be identified with Christ? Now, a caution, though. If you're identified with Christ, then you need to walk the path that He's walking. Don't wear the Christian swag and act like the devil. Amen? You know what I'm going to say about that? Turn your t-shirt inside out or take the fish off your car. You got to choose a path. You got to choose a path that leads to life or the path that leads to death. Throughout Scripture, we have seen God set the choice between the Israelites. He said, I set before you today the way of life and the way of death. Choose today which path you're going to follow. And you might think, what idiot would choose the path of death? Billions. Billions have chosen the path of death. And we're reminded over and over again, choose today. Choose today. Why would you wait? Why would you wait? I was talking to somebody the other day. They said they had a big, this has been a little while back. They had a big, or they thought they were going to have a big income tax refund. But they were waiting till the last day to file. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why are you waiting to the last day? It's your money. Why are you letting them have it any longer than they got to have it? Why wait? Jesus says, choose today. Because you never know when your time is up. You guys remember those, I don't know if they still do that or not, they still have the time test, like the California Achievement Test they do in school. Do they still do those things? Where you have a timer, you know, you start the test, and the teacher, back then it was a clock going tick, 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 but they have the timer, and when the timer goes off, you got to put your pencils down, whether you finish it or not. Life is a timed test, and you do not know when the alarm's going off. Don't wait until the end because you may not have time. You might say, well, Pastor, how do I know which way to go? When we were in the Wichita Mountains, how do you know which path? I just made the best guess. But thank God, we don't have to guess. Amen? What way are you going to follow? Jesus is the way. Didn't he say that? I am the what? Way, the truth, and the life. He that comes, no one comes to the Father except by me. He is the way. He said in John 10, I am the door to the sheep. The sheep got to come in and out by me. God is not trying to hide life. He is trying to demonstrate life. He's trying to give life. He's trying to show the way to life. He is the way. I don't care what kind of advertisement Satan uses, don't buy it. Don't buy it. Now, Satan's going to wrap it up in pretty paper. It's going to be glitzy and glamorous. It's going to be like, you got to have this. You better steer clear. You better steer clear. Well, you know, we got maps, we got GPS, we got compasses to help navigate our way around, and still sometimes we get lost. Well, you got a compass and a map all in one to navigate life, and it's called the Bible. It's called God's Word, the living Word of God contained within these pages. You want to know the path? You check out right here. You check it out right here. I'm going to tell you, if the path you're on diverts from this path, you better back up and find where you got off. Because this is going to direct your steps. This is going to be the light and the lamp to your feet and to your path. I bet that there's no one in here that would, in the warm weather, now when it starts getting colder we might do it, but in the warm weather in this part of the world, you wouldn't dare get out in the middle of the woods in the dark and walk around. Because what you see in your mind that you're going to probably step on is Beth's favorite creature. So, you know, you're going to find one of those things you're thinking about. Because it's dark. I don't know where I'm going. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Follow Him. Do not try to run ahead of Him. Do not try to divert from His path. Follow Him. Now, you younger folks that has grown up with GPS, you don't know nothing about this, but you know, back in the day when we had paper maps that people had to follow, sometimes only one person in a group of cars would have the map, and they would know the way, and they would be in the front. What are you going to do if you're in one of those following cars? You're going to stick to them like glue. You're going to run the red light, you know, if you have to make sure you stay behind them. Why? Because I don't know where I'm going, but they do, and I'm following them. You know, you get on the interstate, and they kick it up to 80 miles an hour, and the trooper stops you. What are you going to say? I'm just following them. They're doing 80. I got to keep up. See if that does you any good. But we're following the person that knows where they're going. Do you know what life holds in advance? I don't. But Jesus does. Why would we not follow Him? Why would we not follow Him? Choose a path. Choose a path. I was talking to somebody the other day that he's a bit of a gear techie. He likes to get all kinds of gear, but he don't go out and use it very much. And we were talking about doing this and doing that, and he was like, yeah, I need to do that, I need to do that. And I said, well, you just got to get out and do it. At some point in time, you got to step off on the trail. Standing still in life will not work. You got to get out and choose a path. Choose Jesus or choose the world. Joshua made that same statement to the elders of Israel. He said, choose today who you're going to follow. Whether the gods of Egypt, the gods of the Amorites, or the living God, but choose today. And you know what? You don't have any choice about making a choice. You will make a choice. You might say, I'm going to put it off. Well, then you just made a choice. Because there are really only two paths. You realize that, right? There are only two paths. Following Jesus Christ or following the world, which is following Satan. There is no middle ground. You can't straddle the fence. You will, as a matter of fact, Jesus said, you either choose me or you choose against me. So if you're saying, well, Pastor, I'm not going to make a choice today, you just made one. And you did not choose Christ. Secondly, there's the path of death. Now, you guys may have seen these movies, you know, old movies where they got like skull and crossbones. They got an old cow skull or something, and that's like the symbol for death. Don't go down that path. The way of the world leads to destruction. I don't know how more plain I can make it. The path of the world leads to death, leads to destruction. Let me just put it completely, boldly, flat out, straight. The path of the world will take you to hell. Do you hear me? The path of the world will take you to hell. Now, you might get a lot of money in the meantime. You might have pleasure in the meantime, but it will end up horribly wrong forever. Forever. We talked about that time test back at the very beginning. Life is a test, and it's timed, and the grade lasts forever. Forever. There is no, oops, I meant to. One of these days I was going to. When your time is up, when your heart beats its last, time is up. And you will have inherited the path that you chose. And it makes no difference if you realize, oh, I'm on the wrong path, but I was going to turn around. I was going to. Does not do any good. You guys know what I think about intentions, right? I intended to is not sufficient. I intended to will not gain you heaven. The way of the world leads to death, and many there are that follow that path. You're going to have company, but it's going to be little consolation. I'm going to tell you something else. The path of death, the path of the world, might feel like it's the right path. It might feel like it's... Now, what do you mean, Pastor? It might feel like it's the right path. Don't answer out loud, but I bet you if I ask you if you ever made a decision in your life that you later regretted you make, that during the time you made it, you probably said it felt like that was the right thing to do. We probably all have been there. Say, yeah, it felt okay for a little bit. It felt like that was the right thing. But boy, later I realized that was the wrong way to go. I've encountered individuals in my years in public safety that made some doozy of choices. And you ask them, when you got them sitting down in the police department, at what point in your time, what point in this situation did you think that was a good idea? And they'll hem-haw around and say, well, I just thought it'd be fun, or whatever the case might be. I said, is it fun now? No. It's going to be even less fun later. Satan's all about having fun now. He's all about fun. But the payback is more than you can afford. The payback is way more than you can afford. It might feel like it's the right path, but the word is, don't rely on your feelings. Amen? Are you saved by your feelings? No, we're not saved by our feelings. What are we saved by? We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. The path of death is based on feelings or the promise of pleasure. It feels like the right path. It feels like it, and I bet you've told your mother this. I bet you told your mother, I need to go do so and so because everybody's doing it. Now, number one, that's a lie. Everybody's not doing it. But you felt like that way, didn't you? And what'd your mom tell you? Are you going to go jump off a cliff because everybody else jumped off a cliff? That's what's happening, though. That's what is happening. The world is going to hell, and people that are following are headed straight there as well on a fast freight train. the path of death. Billions of people are choosing that path. Do not be one of them. You are warned. Do not take that path. Thirdly, the other path, the less traveled path, the windy path, the path that may not feel like it's the right one, but the path that Jesus is guiding on, that's the one we need to take, because He is the trail guide. He is the giver of true life. He knows the way we need to follow Him. He will direct your steps. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, say that, don't He? In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. Now, I didn't say He's going to give you a spotlight for 5 years down the road where you need to step next, where you need to go next. Flashlights nowadays are a lot more powerful than they used to be. Now, they'll drain a battery pretty quick, but you can click on a flashlight now with, 600 lumens, 1,000 lumens, 200, 2,000 lumens, and you can light up the night sky. You can see on down the path. You know, when I was growing up, you had to have one of those big, 6-volt battery things with a big searchlight to be able to see any way past your feet. But we everywhere we went, we maneuvered with small flashlights because all we needed to see was make sure we wasn't stepping on something we didn't want to step on, right? Jesus didn't promise a spotlight down the road. He promised a lamp and a light to our feet and our path. Jesus says, I will guide you. All you need to see is right ahead. Follow me. Follow me. He will direct our paths. The windy path, not the heaviest traveled, but the best path, the only path that leads to salvation and to life and to life more abundantly. And the good news is He will never leave you. We were called to search for a missing year-old boy in Wetumpka last year. He had wandered off from the house into the woods with his dog. I don't know which one wandered off first, if the dog followed him or he followed the dog. But anyway, he was lost. And the family was naturally, concerned. And a bunch of the rescue units, we were called in to help search. And the dog showed back up. The dog didn't stay with him. The dog got hungry and went home and left the little kid out there. Now, thankfully, we found him a little bit later, and he was okay, other than tired and scared. But the dog left him. Your best friend may leave you. Man may leave you, but Jesus Christ will never abandon you through whatever. You might say, well, I mess up. He still will not abandon you because He loves you until the end. The path of life is a daily choice. Now, you might say, I thought once saved, always saved. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about once you make the choice for Jesus Christ and you are saved, I'm talking about walking daily in the Lordship of Christ, because you can lose the joy of your salvation without losing your salvation. You can lose the joy and the peace because you strayed off and not following after Christ. You choose Christ daily. Charles Stanley said that, the armor of God, Ephesians chapter, he said, I do that every morning when I get up. I go through the helmet, the breastplate, the belt of truth, feet, the sword. He said, I go through it all because every day's a battle. Be armed and prepared for that battle. Choose daily to follow Christ. It's a daily choice. It's not just Sunday. Now, I am delighted that you're here today. I am absolutely ecstatic that you're here today. But choosing Sunday is only one day out of the week. Is He only Lord one day out of the week, or is He Lord 7 days out of the week? Because if He's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all, right? Is he Lord on Monday mornings? Monday after? Is he Lord on Friday evenings? Saturday mornings? Saturday night? We make those decisions every day. Choose Christ. Here's your compass point. We must choose daily which path we will follow. The path of the world, that is glitz, glamour, and pleasure, or the path of light, the way of Christ. Love, life, truth, hope, joy, and all those kind of things that you cannot buy. You will choose before you leave here today. As a matter of fact, we're about to have an invitational hymn. I'm going to have you to stand, and Brother Michael's going to lead us in a song, and the altar will be open. You need to choose Christ. Now, you can come down front. I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll put a mask on if I need to. Or you can pray where you are. But whatever you need to do, before you leave this building, you will choose. Will you choose Christ, or will you choose the way of the world? Father, we love you and we praise your name. And we ask, Father, that we would, Lord, as we enter this moment of decision, that we would have the courage to take that first step. To say, Lord Jesus, I want you. I desire you. I desire to be used by you. I pray you'll forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and my Savior. Or perhaps, Father, we have chosen you and asked you to save us, but we've failed to follow through daily in a life of fellowship and discipleship. Father, help us to make the commitment today to follow one day at a time, one step at a time, to be all that you have called us to be. Lord, we know that before we leave this building, we will choose. Help us to choose wisely. Help us to choose rightly, knowing that we will live with the choice for all eternity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Levi, you want to go ahead and... Where is he at? Oh, there he is. You want to come on and get ready? Let's stand. The altar is open.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Can remain seated, but you know this, and this is one we asked Levi, and this is what they said: "Amazing grace, what kind of amazing grace? My chains are gone." So let's sing it. We are going to add, just give you a heads up, the last verse of our good old standard "Amazing Grace" at the end. So let's sing it all together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, Maybe I first believe my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
And now, and
when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining we
Almighty God, we come to you today thanking you for this time that we have been here in this place to worship you with our fellow believers in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this time. Father, we thank you for this one that has come and trusted you as Savior, that has been baptized this morning and to show the world that they want to follow Christ. And I thank you for that. Father, I thank you for each one that's here today. And Father, I pray that if there's one still that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that, Father, that your word that's been preached this morning would have an effect on their life and they would turn and trust you as Savior. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
All together, oh come, let us adore him in. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him.